we left off yesterday trying to understand what exactly the status of Shein is in a situation where it's Michliya Karna versus not Michliya Karna. And when all the dust settled, so the Gemara concludes that Shein is Chayv all the time. When, everything we spoke about yesterday was all Havminish and Havminish. That means it was nice, Torahs that everyone enjoyed. But in terms of Lamaisa, if my animal goes into your backyard, eats up your produce, so be a Misteachi, I'm going to be Chayv. And it doesn't really make much of a difference whether it was totally, completely consumed beer or whether it was partially consumed, even lomi karna. The mice are going to be chayv in all cases. So the Gemara raised the question, really? How do you know that's true? The Gemara says, when all the dust settles, how do you know that it's true? So the Gemara says that we shained lo michli karna, no one. The Gemara says, the answer is do me the regel. Ma regel lo shna michli karna, lo shna lo michli karna. Shained lo shna michli karna, lo shna michli karna. At the end of the day, there's a hekesh. There's a comparison between the parasha of regel and the parasha of shain. We're in the same posuk, so that's considered to be a hekesh. We have a right to derive halachas one to another. So just as regel is chayv under all circumstances, so to shain is chayv under all circumstances as well. So I can't be a gemara. So comes Tosfos with a bomb cash. Tosfos says, wait a second. How do you know that the hekesh goes in that direction? How do you know that the hekesh goes from regel to shame to be mechayev you under all circumstances? Rektais the kasha. V'im tevrim v'imchol. He says, let's say the other way around. Why don't we work with the starting point that ubiyah means michliya karna? That's the definition of the word ubiyah. Only when it's michliya. Only when it's michliya karna. And maybe we should derive from the word ubiyah that regular is only chayev in situations of Michliya Karna. So rather than telling me that Regel is an all-encompassing Chiyuv, why don't you say that Ubiyah should be a partial Ptur? So let's learn the Drasha the other way around. That's Tosfos' Kasha. So now Tosfos is anticipating a response. Tosfos says, I know what you're going to tell me. You're going to tell me that there's a principle called the Chumra or the Kul or Chumra Makshida. Many have a Hekesh that can go in two directions. One direction will end up with a lot of chumras, and the other direction will end up with a lot of kulas. So we have a principle called l'chumra, l'chumra, l'chumra. We always follow the chumra. So Tosfos has in the back of their pocket, maybe that's what the answer is going to be. That if we have a shaila, whether the hekesh should go to be mechayev, or whether the hekesh should go in the other direction to be a poter, so maybe maybe that's what's forcing us to go in the direction of being mechayev. Maybe that's the bira dover in the Gemara. So Tosfos is anticipating you're going to give that teretz. So Tosfos is a very, very poor teretz. Tosfos says that's not a good teretz. Why? Because that principle only makes sense in the realm of Yisurim. It doesn't make any sense in the realm of Mammon. So we're back to square one. So once you tell me that the principle of the Chumra is an irrelevant piece of information because we're dealing with Dini Mavidus. So Taka, how do you know? How do you know that the Hekesh goes in this direction? Maybe the Hekesh should go in this direction. So Tosfos just wiped with a kasha. So Tosfos thought they had a teretz. They quickly blew the teretz out of the water. They're telling you that principle of Chumra Kshirin doesn't make sense in Dini Mavidus. And now they remain with the original kasha. So Rabbeinu Tam. So Rabbeinu Tam responds, no. The midi hi b'teira, lo shta b'isur v'lo shta b'mamoina. Look, Rabbeinu Tam, no. That teretz that we anticipated, that we laughed at just a moment ago, that we knocked out of the water, we refuted just a second ago, is the emes of teretz, says Rabbeinu Tam. And in Ochinami, that the principle of l'chum l'kul l'chum akshinan, lo shta b'isura v'lo shta b'mamoina. And that is, in fact, the reason why the person has to pay in all circumstances. That's the reason why we don't use the Hekesh to read Poiter. Rather, we use the Mimichayim. But a very, very strange Tosfos. Very, just technically, just the literary style, very, very difficult Tosfos. Tosfos asked the Kasha, and then they gave a half-baked teretz that they laughed at, and they said, don't waste your time giving me such silly teretzim. And then the Korban Tam says, by the way, that's the teretz. Korban Tam, yeah, by the way, but we laughed at a minute ago, that's the emes, let me tell you. May Karmaika Savo Sefer. What did Tosfos think? Why did Tosfos think at first that this was such a poor teretz? And what caused Tosfos to make such an about face that this is the emes of teretz? What is going on in this Tosfos? What's the shachmatar of this Tosfos? So the chayr to understand the words of this Tosfos, you have to go back to that principle of l'chum l'kul l'chum makshinan and get a little bit of a better understanding what that principle is all about. What do the words mean, l'chum l'kul l'chum makshinan? Or why is there such a principle? Where did it come from? Now, midas a hekesh is a midah she'ata nidrash to them. True, it's not one of the 13, but we've said many times there are more than 13. Rabbi Shmuel had rachmanis on us. He wanted people to get in time for davening. So he said, if you can have so many midah she'ata nidrash, then people are going to be so late anyway. They're going to miss saying the whole thing. So they cut it down to 13. So now there are a few more here and there, but the 13 main ones. So one of the midah she'ata nidrash is a hekesh. And all of a sudden, the Gemara tells us that when you're dashing a hekesh, you always go l'chumi no ko l'kula. So how do you understand pshat in that? What's the nature of this statement? What is this all about? So one can understand this in one of two ways. Either one can understand that the emes is, a hekesh really could go either direction. And we don't really know which way to be makish. Now, we spoke a little bit, if I'm not mistaken, earlier this year, we spoke about the Machlekes Rashi and Tosfos. Did we talk about this? About whether Hekesh is a midah? Right? We spoke about the base, right back in the Nanshim Radin. There's Machlekes Rashi and Tosfos, we get into the Brach of Sukkah, whether Hekesh is a type of a midah that you have to have a Mesorah to use, or whether Hekesh is a midah that you can use Me'atzmo. Some of the midah Shetan and Rashi then require an absolute Mesorah, such as Gzeir Shavas. And other of them don't require an absolute Messiah, such as the Kavachem. Kavachem, it makes sense, it's logical. Adam Kate, Adam Dan, Kavachem Me'atzmo. In Adam Dan, Gzeir Shav Me'atzmo. But Adam Dan, Kavachem Me'atzmo. So Hekesh is a tricky one because it's not clear in the Gemara which category of Midas is a Hekesh. Is a Hekesh part of the Kavachem team, or is a Hekesh part of the Gzeir Shav team? Even Al Atzad, that you require a Messiah to be done a Hekesh, L'chaira, all that means is that you require Mesorah that Hekesh is a legitimate Hekesh. What are you going to do with that information? Where that's going to take you? Are you going to dash in that Hekesh in this direction or that direction? That's not a Mesorah per se. There is no clear-cut Mesorah what you're going to do with the Hekesh. There's a Mesorah that this pasuk is deal with Torah's Hekesh. But again, according to most Rishonim, it's not even true. According to most Rishonim like Tosfos, you don't even need a Mesorah for Hekesh. So let's go with Tosfos. That was easier to understand. So I'm sitting and reading Chumash, and I come up with this great idea of a Hekesh. It says Rishilach, says Ubiyam, meets all the criteria. Hekesh, the Hekesh would be great. Now what? Which direction do I go? Do I say Lehekesh to make you pay money, to make you Hekesh not to pay money? Well, let's say a case of Issa v'Heter. I have a Hekesh that could make an Isser, could make a Heter, could make a Kul, could make a Chumra. Which way do you go? So the answer is, I don't know. And Mamish don't know. And now I'm in a quandary. So what do I do when I don't know? So we go back to the regular rules of what do I do in life when I don't know what to do? Most of life, we don't know what to do. That's the way HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the world. There are a lot of sphakas. That's the love of the Rambam describes that. That's the love of, so we'll get such a clearer picture of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So a lot of the sphakas, a lot of the things that we don't know in this world will be clarified. But we live, the Rambam writes, in the Olam HaChoshuch and Olam HaOfel, the Gufa Ofel, we live in a world where there's so much Cheshach, so much Orb Cheshach, Vashtab Shem Rebuvia. There's so many sphakas in life, so we don't know what to do. So we have to proceed in life knowing full well that we don't know always what the correct thing to do is. So the Torah Kedoshah is well equipped for this and wants to give us the ability. How do you deal with sphakas? So what do you do when you have a suffix in Halacha? So the Torah gives you a lot of different ways to try to deal with sphakas. What are some of the easy things? What are some things you do when you have sphakas? What are some things you look for? You try to be viral, despite the suffix. You look for Eidim, you look for two Eidim, you look for one Eid. You look for robes, you look for chazokas, you look for korobs, you look for a lot of things, a lot of different things. And sometimes you throw your hands up and you realize that what? No Eidim, and no Eidechad, and no robes, and no korobs, and no chazokas, nothing, zero. So what do you do? Wipe the suffix. So what do you do? So Baruch Hashem, we have another parish in the Torah. Parish in the Torah is suffix deraisa l'chumra. And you're not sure what to do, and it's a din deraisa, then you have to be machmir. 50-50, you have no way to know, you have to be machmir. So perhaps one could suggest that this principle the Gemara speaks about in several places called L'chumra Makshinan is basically just a corollary of the principle of Tzveika Deraisa L'chumra. Namely, the Hekesh really could go either way. I really don't know which is the correct conclusion of the Hekesh, and therefore I'm going to be Makish L'chumra because I have no choice because Tzveika Deraisa is L'chumra. So that's one way of learning pshat in L'chumra L'kul L'chumra actually. So Rav Yosef Engel in his Sefer Asven Deraisa, so he suggests maybe this is pshat, and he puts together a couple of bekeres here and there to support such an idea that maybe this is the pshat in L'chumra Makshir Deraisa L'chumra. Now, truth to be told, it's kind of hard to believe that L'chumra Makshinan is a part of the principle of Sfeik Deraisa L'chumra, at least according to some Rishon. I'll tell you which Rishon, I would be very, very weary the plug l'chum makshin in this fake derais l'chum. Which Risha would I have a lot of trouble connecting that to? What do I know? No, not much more mainstream. No, not necessarily. Someone who has something very unique to say about Sveik Darais L'chuma, the Rambam. The Rambam has a very, very unique sheet about Sveik Darais L'chuma. The Rambam says that the institution of Sveik Darais L'chumra itself is a Chumra Midrabbanan. Namely, min haTorah, you don't really have to be Machman Sveikas. If you have a piece of meat in front of you, 50-50 chance, whether it's Chazer, you can eat it. If you need a Smash Rabbeinu can eat it, he'd say, hey, give me a slice also. You're allowed to eat it. It's a 50-50 chance of eating Chazer. So what? We'll Sveikas and Mutter Minotaira according to the Sheet of Rambam. Now, many Rishabd Rashba, many Rishabd disagree with that, but the Rambam Sheet is a number four sub Sheet of Rambam. So according to the Rambam, that all Sveikas are really Lekula Midaraisa, so you're going to tell me that L'chumra makshinin is only a chumra midrabanan, means midrais. If you ask Moshe Rabbeinu what I do and I have a suffix hektish, I don't know what to do, so he would say you can eat it like the suffix piece of meat, and that which it says in the Gemara, L'chumra kul l'chumra makshinin is only b'taras derabanan, and it just doesn't sound that way, it doesn't sit right with us. So it's a funny kind of an idea. So if you want to go on record as saying that l'chumra makshinin is part of the parish that's making the rice of l'chumra, I think this fits much, much better into the Rashba's understanding that Tzveikas are actually also in the Torah. But again, this is a real, real chiddush to understand. Kazi Ves Mengelin says, you know, maybe there's something else that's going on here. Maybe there's a totally different angle that's going on here. Maybe l'chum l'ku l'chum makshinan has nothing to do with what Rabbi say, nothing to do with Tzveikas. It's not to do with Tzveikas. It's not to do with Tzveikas. When the Kadosh Baruch was Moshe to Moshe Rabbeinu, the Klolim Shatar Nidrashas Behem, the Midah Shatar Nidrashas Behem, he didn't just give him a list of Rabbi Shmuel Oimer and say Kadosh Drabon and move to his Moshiach. Wasn't what happened. Kadosh Baruch explained to him the details. These are going to be the Midahs that are ultimately going to determine Tarshish Ba'peh for Deiri Deiris. So much of Tarshish Ba'peh is going to be derived from these halachas. These are the keys. This is the essence. This is the engine that makes the whole Tarshish Ba'peh go. So Kadosh Baruch Hu explained to him, Midin Kavachayim Keitzad. So Kadosh Baruch Hu explained to him, this is how you make a Kavachayim, this is not a Kavachayim. This is the meat of Dayo, this is when Dayo does apply, this is when Dayo doesn't apply. This is a Pircha, this is not a Pircha. Then he gave him the Midas, the Binyanavs, and the Klal Prado Klals, and he explained to him, this is the Klal Prado Klal, and this is not a Klal Prado, Hamruchachim Zemizeh, not Hamruchachim Zemizeh, Klal Kama, Klal Basra. Each one of the Yigil Midas has tears and tears and tears connected to it. So one of the details of Hilchas Hekish was, one of the Midas of Hekish was, that Hekish him always go to Chumrah. Whenever you don't know which way to be Makish, you always go to Chumrah. It's not pshat that a Kadosh Baruch Hu gave us the Midas of Hekish, and now we're sitting around 1,000 years later, scratching our head and trying to figure out, gee, Rabbi, should I be Makish, should I be Mako? Flip a coin, gee, I don't know. Oh well, something that writes to Chumrah. That's not what happened. Is that whenever you have a Hekish that could go either way, Midas a Hekish dictates that the Midas was Nimser always to be Machmer. Thus it's a chelach of the etzem Midas of Hilchas Hekish. So that's the other tzah. So L'chum Machshinan is chelach b'Midas a Hekish. My nafkamina. Big nafkamina. When you have a situation of L'chum Kulachum, whatever halach you plug that principle into, halach l'maisi going to be Machmer. They're going to be Machmer b'ter Sofek. If you machmer toras vada, if you go down the first route, then it's only b'teres sofik. Go down the second route, then it clears b'teres vada. So that could be a stiff angle in the safe house of the Raisa. This is exactly what Tosis is dealing with. Exactly what Tosis is contemplating on the Gimel Menachem of Gimel. Tosis started out by asking Kash. They said, "How do you know which direction the heck you should go? How do you know it goes in the direction of making you pay mamon? Maybe it goes in the direction of making you potter for mamon." And Tosis said, and don't tell me a story that why? No. Tosis, don't tell me a story, because that's ridiculous, says Tosis. That only makes sense by Isurim, not by Mamonis. What did Tosis mean in that statement? Why did Tosis, before they discovered Rabbeinu Tam, before Rabbeinu Tam discovered America for us, what did Tosis think in that statement? Why did Tosis think it was so ludicrous to say that L'chum L'ku L'chum Akshinan only applies in Isabahetta, doesn't apply in Mammonis? Why did Tosis think that was so absurd? Why did Tosis think that Chilik is so partial? What's the answer? by mominus, what do you mean? Suffik deraisa l'chumra by mominus? That's a late sonus. I said, mominus doesn't follow the rules of suffik deraisa l'chumra. What's the rule by didi mominus? What's the rule by didi mominus? Yes, suffik didi mominus. What do you do? You make the guy pay, you don't make the guy pay. You don't make the guy pay. And what's the level raya? So therefore, comes, Rabbi Yisbenglan says, Tosus was so convinced that Allah tzad, that the chumra kshin is b'tarah sofik teraisa l'chumra, they thought it was absurd, that it was ludicrous, it was ridiculous to talk about it in the realm of dinim mamonos. And that's why Tosus said, don't give that teretz, shvach teretz. And then Rabbeinu Tam discovered America. When Rabbeinu Tam says, "Ami Rabbeinu Tam, the midhi b'tayra," Zok Rabbeinu Tam, it's a midhi b'tayra. Now what? Leishna isur leishna mamayna. Zok to be a sevenga. What Rabbeinu Tam meant was, it's not b'tayra sofik like you mistakenly thought, but rather midhi b'tayra. The other side of the chiyus, it's chelik v'midas hekesh, and if it's a chelik v'midas hekesh, therefore it's b'tayra's vaday. It's b'tayra's vaday. Then it's not a loshna b'mayna, loshna isura. That's the shach b'tayra in Tosfos. So what changed radically in Tosfos was a fundamental change in the understanding of what the nature of the chum l'chul l'chum makshin is all about. It started out Tosfos to b'tayra sofa, then they concluded it's b'tayra vaday. If it's b'tayra vaday, then midi b'tayra b'im b'mominus b'im b'isurim. Ad kan der b'yosef engel. I know Mr. Alter is going to ask me this. What are you going to ask me? As a lawyer, what are you going to ask me?
I have a problem with defining the terms chumra.
Oh, okay. Good. Baruch Hashem. Mechavin to Makasha. Okay. So who here is satisfied, besides Mr. Alter, who here is satisfied with Rabbi Yosef Engel? He's a razzle-dazzle dirt. He showed you what Tosfos thought. He gave you a bit of time. He gave you a chakira. He's got everything. He's got all the trappings for a great shiur. Everyone likes this kind of stuff, right? Makasha, teretz, change in the bir hadin. Great. It's still not so partial, Rabbi Yosef Engel. It's still not so simple. I'll tell you why. Even Zolzayin, that it's chelik midas hekesh. I'll concede to that l'chumra l'kula, l'chumra k'shin is not b'teiris safik, it's b'teiris vade, it's chelik midas hekesh. I'll agree to you, Zolzayin is chelik midas hekesh. Listen to the words, Rabbi Zay. L'chumra l'kula l'wat makshinan? L'wat makshinan? L'chumra l'kula what? What? L'chumra makshinan. That's a chumra. What does the word chumra mean in Dinim Mamonos? The word doesn't get off the ground. Even Naniach, that you want to tell me that l'chumra l'kula l'chumra makshinan applies in the realm of, even when I tell me that l'chumra l'kula applies in the realm of Dinim Mamonos, you want to tell me somehow it's a cherek midas hekesh. You want to tell me that's b'teiris vaday. Even if you want to sell me that story, you can't say it with a straight face. You can't say l'chumra makshinan by dinim mamonos, because a chumra for me is a kula for you, and a chumra for you is a kula for me. Chumras and kulas mean that I can tell you don't do that action on Shabbos. I can tell you don't eat that meat. I can tell you treat this as being tummy. Those are chumras. But to take $100 from one guy to another and say we're being very, very machmir on this guy, that's a joke. What do you mean machmir this guy? You're making it up. The other guy's getting his money. So one could argue that Rabbi Natam is saying a chiddush adav chiddush. Not only is Rabbi Natam saying that l'chum makshinan is a chiddush min zekesh, that's not enough. It's not enough for Rabbi Natam's pshat to fly. Rabbi Natam has to add on in saying that hotzas mamon apidin, that's called a chumra. That's just the way it is. Hotzas mamon, that's the definition of a chumra in dinim mamonos. Even though it doesn't seem to meet the regular criteria of chumras and kulas of kol tar kulvis v'hatar, but that's kachas. That's the way it is. That's called the hotzas mamon is labeled as a chumra. If that's the case, so in effect, Tosfos is really saying two chidushim. Tosfos is changing what they thought. At first, they thought the whole thing was a farce. The whole thing was a joke. It doesn't make any sense with dinim mamonos. Now Tosfos is bechadish the neiv Rabbeinu Tam. That makes a lot of sense. And in order for the Tam's pshat to fly, two things have to be true. You have to reevaluate, reformulate what you thought l'chumra makshinan meant. And then number two, you have to get on this piece of information that tzos mamon guf is labeled as a chumra. So it's really a chiddush agav chiddush for Rabbeinu Tam, but that's what Rabbeinu Tam is driving at. Oh, wait. Okay. You're already in territory of the Rashba. Hang it. So when all the dust settles, Rabbeinu Tam is really, really mechudish. Really, really mechudish. It's such a chiddish, this Rabbeinu Tam, that if you look at other Rishayim was so unconvinced of this Rabbeinu Tam that different Rishayim went fishing for other answers to this kasha. Other Rishayim are barred with the same identical kasha of Tosfos. How do you know which direction to be makish? And they dafka did not go down the route of Rabbeinu Tam. They dafka did not want to get stuck into this whole mix of a chumul kula chumak shinan. And different Rishayim had different nuances how to solve the problem, avoiding the pitfalls of Rabbeinu Tam's pshat. So let's tell him, Moshe. So the Shid Mekubetzes, the bottom of the page, going up to the top of the back page, quotes the name of Rabbeinu Yeshaya. The same kasha. Kasha. Minolei de mekshidon lechiyuva. Naksha leptura. V'neiva mashen de mechliya kana. Fregel mechliya. V'yei shalomah zek Rabbeinu Yeshaya. Hoya v'yashkechana da achmim v'rachamanu l'shalim imeitav. V'yei shtoro l'hachmir. What did Rabbeinu Yeshaya say? What's up to Rabbeinu Yeshaya? That you're right. That independently, there's no real reason, no way to know which direction to take this hekesh. This hekesh can easily go in both directions. It can go l'chayim moment, go l'ftomim moment, and there's nothing that you know about midas hekesh that could sway you in either direction. So why did the Gemara think it's such a dover pasha, and why the maskana is it such a dover pasha that we go quote unquote l'chumra? Because Dr. Ben Yeshaya, Hilchas Nizak in general is pointing against the Mazik. The Mazik has the lower hand in the realm of Hilchas Nizikin, and we tend to be tough on the Mazik. How do we know we tend to be tough on the Mazik? Because we find the Chiddush in Hilchas Mazik that doesn't appear in other areas of Halacha, called the Chiyuv to pay me Meitav. Now, we haven't even spoken about Meitav at all. It's a sugya much later on, the Vav, which I don't know how much we're going to talk about it. We may skip those sugyas, and we'll see as the year goes on. But there's a whole parsha of Meitav. Namely, when I owe you money for other reasons, let's say how much I borrow money for you, I buy $100 from you, and I can't come with the cash, basically comes after my land, which land do they go after? So different people have different lands. So basically, the halacha recognizes there are three different degrees of quality of land. It's Idis, Benis, and Ziburis. Idis is the highest quality, you know, it's a very small amount quantitatively, but really, really, you know, good solid real estate. Right? Give me a good marshal, right? I'm a small piece of real estate. Where? Midtown Manhattan, right? You know, 34th Street, right? 34th and Lexington and Madison Park, and Stern, whatever. You get heavy, very, very, very serious, expensive real estate, okay? So it's a very, very small building, but it's worth loads of money. Then you move on to, Bainanus. You know, give me a good example of Bainanus. Teaneck, you know, New Rochelle, you know, Urbanfield these days, okay, you know, 36th Rector Court, you know, regular push of the guys, you know, live around there, so it's not bad, you know, on the other hand, you know, I didn't say which streets in Teaneck, you know, it depends where you are, I didn't say Winthrop, I don't know, maybe Warwick, I mean, you gotta know your ins and outs of Teaneck, okay, got Bainanus, then you got Ziburis, then you have stuff that, you know, location is not so great. You know, there are reasons to believe that you're, you know, okay, we'll leave it at, okay, so Rabbi Sai, no one should be insulted. So Rabbi Sai, the halacha says, if I borrow $100 from you, $100,000 from you, and I got to pay you back, and I don't have any cash, but I got a lot of land, I got some, property in Midtown, I got some property in Teaneck, I got some property up in the Heights, and I have different places, sorry about that. So I have to, a Baal Choyv pays from where? Min HaTorah. Where does Bachoy pay from? Min HaTorah, I added those two words. Min HaTorah, where does Bachoy pay from? There are only three possible answers, and so far nobody's gotten one right. Min HaTorah, Bachoy pays from Ziburis. Okay, Min HaTorah, I said. Bachoy pays from Ziburis. How do we know that Bachoy pays from the garbage? Because it says in Pashki Seitzei, Torah says that when you come to collect the chov, stay outside, and the lov is going to bring you out the stuff. What stuff does a lover tend to bring out? The Torah is putting it in his decision. He decides what to pay you back from. So So Eza Darka Shalom Mahotzi Mikalev, Sazibouris. People bring out the garbage and they have a choice to bring out the garbage. So from the fact that the Torah put it into the hands of the Loba to decide what to pay back, so the Minat Torah, Balchav is Bezibouris. But we all know the Mishnah at the beginning of the first paragraph of Gittin says, Balchav is Bebeinanis, that's been the Rabbanan. Why did they institute that? Shaloha? We're afraid that if I lend the guy $100,000 and he comes and he gives me a piece of $100,000 worth of land in the middle of Wyoming, it's worth $100,000. What are you going to do with it in the middle of Wyoming? So that's going to be a problem. I'm not going to lend him the land next time. So Midrabanan, they hiked it up. But it's really a chiddush haTorah. Ksuba, they tackle left busy burris. Right? Ksuba, there's no reason to hike it up. Ksuba's why we're afraid women aren't going to want to get married. If they're not going to get banners, they're not going to get married. That's not true. The women want to get married also. Yosem, Isha, Talisha, Isha, Talisha. No, say, check the website. So say, women want to get married also, right? Women also. The men should also want to get married. Right? All the men should try to get married. Right? Those who are not yet married should attempt to get married soon. Okay. But if you didn't help, I'll give you the appropriate address. But Rabbi say, Come to parasha of Mazik, and the Torah says, "Meitav sedeh meitav kam yishalim." You have to pay min ha-meitav. Wow, that's a chiddush haTorah. I wouldn't have said that on my own. Regular chiyuvim don't pay meitav. What do you see from that? There's a mindset, yes, says Ibn Yeshaya, that the Torah is out to get you. You're a Mazik, the Torah is going to be very, very machmer on you. Says Ibn Yeshaya, that mindset that the Torah is out to get the Mazik, to be machmer in the Mazik, that is what's impacting us on being darshing the Psukim L'chumrah. So we're going to dash in the Psukim L'chumrah here, dafka because it's Tuchas Mazik, something that we wouldn't normally do. Normally we'd say, we don't know which way to be machmer, so whatever, Moschel Varaya. Here we're going to be machmer because of the nature of Mazik as such, it's so chumrah. So it's very fascinating, Rabbi Yeshaya. What do you see claw from Rabbi Yeshaya? What did he not buy into? Clearly didn't buy into Taiz, didn't buy into Rabbi Tam. And you see the same idea from Adri Shernim as well. The Rashba. The Rashba says, Rashi the 8th of the Mamakonis. Shayd la michli akainim, and no one do me the regal. Kash la vichich, pshit la beregal, la michli akainim, tvemi shayd. How do you know that the word vishilach by regal doesn't mean michli akainim? So Rashi says, nah. Yeshua, the stam regal, ain't a machal, a deis a machalkel. When an animal eats, so then it sounds like it's totally destroying what it's eating. Whereas an animal tramples and walks, it doesn't completely uproot what it's walking on. It just ruins it a little bit externally. So the word vishilach, the word regal, doesn't have the connotation of total destruction. The Rashba says, if you can darsh these psukim in the reverse, and you can say that regal is only chayev when it's michliya, it's going to turn out that 99.9% of the time, regal is going to be potter, because regal usually is not michliya. So stam v'shilach is not total destruction. So if you're going to darsh, there has to be a comparison between shein and regal. That's chikliyav, that's a hekesh. So whatever your standards are, one of those is against the standards in the other. So you want to tell me that the standards are going to be your only chayev and it's michliya karna, you're going to create a situation where regal is kimat not shayach, because the word v'shilach doesn't usually mean it's not what usually happens. So therefore the Rashba says, in this particular case, we're pretty convinced, for almost external reasons, which direction the Hekesh is going to go. So what do you see from this Rashba? Obviously. Who else he didn't buy into? No one wants to touch a Ben Tam at a 10-foot pole. No one wants to come near a Ben Tam's Pshat. The Rishonim are looking for other Giluyim, other reasons that prompted Chazal to their conclusion, but the last place you want to go is down the road of Rabbeinu Tam. Why do we not want to go down the road of Rabbeinu Tam? Why do we show him so nervous about going down the road of Rabbeinu Tam? So l'chora, the answer is Rabbeinu Tam is moli chiddush. Rabbeinu Tam is a dual chiddush. Now, truth to be told, we don't know exactly why the other Rishonim didn't want to go down Rabbeinu Tam. Did they not want to go down Rabbeinu Tam because they thought that l'chum makshinin is fake at the rice of l'chumra? Is that what they thought? Or even the other Rishonim didn't want to go down Rabbeinu Tam, not because they really thought Sfeik Dereis L'Chumra is the engine to this. They believed that it was Chelek B'Nei Hekesh, But they had problems with the second half of Rabbeinu Tam's assumption that Atzos Mammon is a Chumrah. They were on the alter side of the equation. So again, whenever you have a Rishon who offers a Pshat, like Rabbeinu Tam offered a Pshat in HaGemara, and there were two premises that were necessary for his Pshat to fly, and we find Rishonim were arguing with this conclusion, you never really know why the other Rishonim were arguing. Were the other Rishonim arguing because they thought premise number one was wrong? Were the other Rishonim arguing because they thought premise number two was wrong? Maybe the other Rishonim were arguing they thought premise one and two were both wrong. So we don't really know what the Nekudas of Achloikis is. We know they didn't go down the river Benetam. That's for sure. And again, it's anyone's guess which one or both of these premises the other Rishonim were not satisfied with. Just as an aside, could one have offered a different answer to this kasha that the Rishonim are asking? How do you know which direction to make the hekesh? And licked in that question is, isn't this mumminess? Because it isn't this mumminess. Couldn't one have answered the following? What could one have said? Couldn't one have fallen back on Issa Mazik? Couldn't one have said, wait a second, we're being down on Isurim over here, and Suffolk, what? Almost like Suffolk derais al Chumrah. Now, wait a second. I'm talking dollars and cents, and you're talking about, you know, Masil Sisharim and, you know, the violating of Averis and Klapin al Chaitz. I want to know about dollars and cents. So, what are you hakami chayach about Issa Mazik? What did you mean in that question? Right, but I'm claiming that I'm claiming you damaged me in a way that you're chayev, and you're claiming I damaged you in a way that I'm potter.
It's just the din. So if we're being done, what is the din? And everyone agrees to what happened. Being done is the halacha that if you did a partial damage, you're chayev for that damage. We're not arguing about.
Okay, but again, it's not a suffix. It's a suffix in halacha. Okay, but suffix in halacha is also mosachal of araya. Right, that's also the din. With the tefisa not works, it's another story. But the starting point, if I have a suffix in din, is also a mitzvah of araya. So I want to know. So we're raising an interesting point here. We're saying that, you know, the way the Rishonim posed the question, even Taisus themselves, who initially blew out of the box that answer of l'chum makshinan, they did it because they labeled that question a question of mumminess. Why don't we take a step back and say, no, this is not just mumminess. Everyone remembers the shiurim earlier before Yom Tov. Every mazik is a combination of mumminess and the issur l'hazik. So what do you do when you have a shaila in mumminess? You have a shaila in issur l'hazik. You have a shaila that really pertains to both. Do we go l'chum or l'kula? What's that take on a suffix in hilchos nezikin? Because now hilchos nezikin is really a compound area of halacha. It has aspects of issur to it, issur v'hetter, and has aspects of mumminess to it. You know, when you say Rabbi Chuni ben Akon, everyone says Tfilas Rabbi Chuni ben Akon in the morning, you come to base medish, Shlo Yerod, Deval, Tekal, Shlo Omet, Loka Shem, right? Heim B'din, what do you say? Heim B'din Issa V'Heter, Heim B'din Ramominus. So some years it's very obvious you know exactly what you're having in mind. So we learned Masechet Sukkah last year, so we only spoke about Issa V'Heter, right? We didn't learn any Ramominus last year, except for three quarters of the year. We spoke about Gezel and Yosh and Shini. Okay. Well, let's say some years, we learned Masechet Shabbos. So Shabbos, we spoke very, very little about Din Ramominus. So you had in mind the Issa V'Heter part. Right? Other years, we learned about Metzias. So you're spending most of the year talking about Nigel Hotzi, so it's very, very little Issa V'Heter in there. So sometimes it's clear which Chelikim Torah you're in. You're learning about Vakama, you don't know what we're in. We're not sure. We're learning the Issa V'Heter, we're learning the Imam, so we're learning a combination of both. So how do we view these kinds of Sveikas in Ezekiel? Do we view them through the prism of Issa V'Heter, through the prism of Din Imamunus? We already spoke about this. Who remembers? Who already had what to say about this topic? Brach Be'er had what to say. But Brach Be'er wasn't the first one. He was saying a pshat within who?
Rashba.
Within the Rashba. Remember the famous Rashba in the sugya of what? Kerem Chuberes, right? Remember the Gemara had a Havamina that the only time we split between Chatzid Ezek and Ezek Shalom is on by Karen Tlusha, Kerem Chuberes is the Olam Chaya, Frek the Rashba. What do you mean? Why the Olam Chaya? Maybe the Olam Potter. The Rashba says, no, you always go to Chumra. So he said, you always go to Chumra. Since when do you go to Chumra? So Baruch Be'er gave us a whole Shtikl Torah, a whole razzle dazzle of beer that there are two dinim in Mazik, Sinisla Hazik, and there's a Mamina Mazik when you have a suffix that pertains to both. So then you have to go to Chumra, right? Everyone remember this? Reb Chaim, right? Chisan Shmir, the whole story. So I could have plugged in that whole Rabbeinu Be'er, that whole Mahalach, into our sugya also. I could have said, you want to know why we're going to Chumrah in all these cases? I'll tell you why we're going to Chumrah. Because this is not only impacting on what? On Mamanus, it's impacting to a certain degree on Isser as well. So that perhaps would have been a good answer. it's a little bit surprising, a little bit unnerving, that which Rishon does not give that answer here? The Rashi. And the Rashi himself asked the Kasha and actually went down a different route and didn't even reference what he said a daf and a half earlier. So that's a little surprising. So I don't know, you can learn back in comments, go back to Baruch Bey, I'm trying to figure out why that Rashi Shikotar and the Beis doesn't seem to carry over here on Daf Gimel. I'm not sure what the answer to that question is. But the one thing that's emanating crystal clear from the Sugya is that from Rabbeinu Yeshaya, from the Rashi, from other Rishayim, they are not going down Rabbeinu Tam's route. And again, maybe they're not going down Rabbeinu Tam's route because they fundamentally argue about L'chul Mavshinon. Maybe they fundamentally argue about whether Tzos Mammon is a Chum or not, or maybe they fundamentally argue in both. Very, very unclear what the Nekudas Machlokes is. But let's take this out of Bava Kamma for a minute. Enter into other besechtas, other realms, other areas of Halacha. Because this question that Rabbeinu Tam has raised for us, or Yosef Engel has put into the words Rabbeinu Tam has raised for us, something that goes way beyond Bava Kamma Daf Gimel. We should be able to analyze this and test this in a laboratory. What is L'chum Makshinan? Is L'chum Makshinan B'Teir Sofik? Or is L'chum Makshinan B'Teir Zvadli? And of course the laboratory of life is Shas. We should be able to go through Shas and be able to think it through and try to find from Bracha, Shabbos, Erev, try to think through what Gemaras, what Din, and what Sugyas could perhaps impact on our Shai. Because this, again, this is not above a Kama Shai. This is a Shas, Kloli Sticka topic. Let's try to think if we could bring some right. So one of the issues that this revolves around is the sugya in Maseches Kedushin of Samach Beis. Those who are with us in Maseches Sanhedrin, who's around Sanhedrin days? Still around Sanhedrin days? Okay, that's it, just the two of you. It's been already a couple of years since Sanhedrin, okay. So back at Sanhedrin days, we spent a lot of time talking about this. There's a Gemara in Kedushin of Samach Beis in the days. But the Gemara has the following statement, a very, very simple, straightforward statement. Ger Tzarech Shloisha, it's on the ninth in Mar Mekoymas. When a person converts, you have to have three dayonim present. My time in Mishpat Ksiv Bey Kedin. As the Torah says, Mishpat Echad Yilachem Al Gergo Itchem, or Shvatim Tzenech Benishim Benachem Ben Geiro, different places where the Torah uses the Lashon of Mishpat in the context of Geiros. This teaches us that you require three Dayanim for Geiros. Right? My time in Mishpat Ksiv Bey Kedin. So we need a little bit of a background to appreciate this Drasha and to question this Drasha. Geiros is compared to Din. It's almost like a what? Like a, what's the meaning we could use for this? If the Torah speaks about Mishpat in the same pasuk that it speaks about Geiros, so what do we call this? It's Hekish, right? It's a Hekish. Are the facts true? Mishpat requires three? Who knows a little background to that topic? What's the first Mishnah Sanhedrin? Starts out with what words? Right? Monetary law requires three dayanim. Okay? Is it true that dini mamonos require three dayanim? All dini mamonos require three dayanim? So, the do on the first sum, back to the base of Maseches Sanhedrin, all of dini mamonos is broken down to two distinct categories. Who remembers? What are the two categories? A little chazara back from 4 years ago. Oh, there's gezeilas v'chavolos on the one hand, and there's hadas v'chavolos on the other hand. What in the world do those things mean? So gezeilas means I steal things. Chavolos means I beat you up. Hadas v'chavolos means I lend you money. We enter into a contract. We're entering a business deal together. We're dividing a partnership together. Different areas of halacha. So gezeilas v'chavolos, we call in English, what do we call it? Torts, okay? Torts and damages. You know, it has the connotation of breaking things, beating people up, stealing, robbing, that kind of area. And the other area is what we call contracts. Means I agree to sell you, $100,000 of this, and then I back out. You back out. Those kinds of sechsuchim and dini mamonos. They're different areas of dini mamonos. Some are gezeilas v'chavolos, some are hodos v'chavolos. In the realm of gezeilas v'chavolos, there is no question that you require to read dayanim min haTorah. That's the sugya da beis b'sechta hevdik b'adirad zom psukim beginning pash mishpatim. That was not negotiable. Of course, you require three dayanim for gezeilas v'chavolos. What is unclear is whether hodos v'avos also require three dayanim or not. So, according to one opinion in the Gemara, hodos v'avos are identical to gezeilas v'chavolos based on a series of psukim. Machlek is what the psukim are. Again, complicated. The beis of gimel whole sugya is the first month of b'sechta Sanhedrin. But according to one opinion in the Gemara, all dinimums, torts, damages, the works, require three dayanim, min haTorah. And the other opinion in the Gemara says, no, The other bit in the Gemara says that midaraisa hados vavos get away with what?
One
dime. How do you know that? Betzedek tishpot abisach saloshin yochid. So the Torah itself is giving us the opportunity to be dan yichidi. Betzedek tishpot abisach. So three dayanim min haTorah for gzeilos vavos and one dayan for dos vavos. Now that's true midaraisa, but the Rabbanan you're really supposed to have three dayanim. Maybe with the evidence could be two dayanim, but lechitchila is supposed to have three dayanim. So again, the Mishnah says minimum of the shlosh. It's no question. No one's going to sit to a din Torah without three dayanim today. Whether that's a din deraisa or din derabanan, that's up for grabs. So come the Rishonim and say, wait a second. Now we have a big problem. Why? Because the whole basis for requiring three dayanim for hilchos geiros is derived from mishpat, the hekesh to mishpat. But even mishpat itself doesn't necessarily need three dayanim. Some cases need three dayanim, and other cases can get away with a beer one dayan according to one opinion. So according to the mandiyomer, not everyone holds like this, but according to that mandiyomer, that hodos lavos bechad min haTorah. What did Rabbi Yechinen mean? Rabbi Yechinen, for haTorah you need three dayanim for geiros mishpat ksivbe, and a gershes geyer in front of one dayan is not Jewish with the raisa. Who's not Jewish with the raisa? Why isn't he Jewish? How do you know that Mishpat means three? Maybe the Torah is comparing the Mishpat of Geirus to the Mishpat of Hodos Vavos, not to the one of Gzeilos Vavos. How do you know? So this is the famous Kasha. All we share Mabah with this Kasha. Let's take a look and see what some of the answers are. So comes Tosis in the 10th of the Mamakomis. Comes Tosis and tells us, Vim Timer. Mishum Kabbalah's mitzvahs nami amaybu inin shloisha. Leave out the Kabbalah's mitzvahs part, that technical gears issue. Why do you need three dayanim? For a hodos valvos tachsibahem mishpot. Tafil hochia minim esan head, the dana fil yichidi. According to one opinion, dana fil yichidi. Listen to this, Taisus. Yesh loim is a Taisus. The yesh loim, the yesh loim, the gezelos vachavalos. The olam boy shloisha. Why? What did Tosha say? Tosha said, you're right. There are two models of Mishpat, equally valid models of Mishpat, either three or one. And I know there's a din of Mishpat by Geiros, and I really could go in this direction, or I go in this direction. I really don't know. I'm talking not sure which way to go. So, what cloud do we plug in? Well, to require three dayanim is clearly a chumrah, because they have to go bend over backwards to go find three dayanim, not so easy. So to insist on three dayanim, that's the chumrah. Just to get away with one cheap dayan, that's easier. So we plug in the rule called the chumrah kul chumrah kshir, and therefore we insist on three. At kan divya ta'izm is exclusion of some of this. That is the source of Rabbi Yechon's statement, Geirtzer Shloisha. If not for that parasha, the chumrah makshinan, could be, maybe one would have been sufficient. Ad kan Devir Tosis. Wow, what do you think this tells us? I'm not sure what they said yet before we figure out what Lashon Tosim is. What do you think about this tells us? Do you think this is a correct application of L'chum L'ku L'chum Makshinim?
I think L'chum Makshinim means that which side you're going to. Which
side are you going to? You're going down the route of three, which is a bit chumrah. You're going down the route of one, which is a bit cooler. I have two paths in front of me. I'm standing at a crossroads. I have to know, should I go higher three dayanim or higher one dayan? So the parasha, L'chum Makshinim, tells me we better go for three.
I think it's our kasha from before. Is what is L'chumrah?
So you tell me, no?
Saying it all depends on the situation. For one guy, it could be L'chumrah. For one guy, it could be
how is this a chumrah or is this a cooler?
It totally depends on which person.
You tell me, what do you mean? The guy, we want to know. We want how many dayanim do we need? Tell me, is that a chumrah or kula?
The guy doesn't come a ger?
Yeah.
I mean, it depends how you look at gerus.
What do you mean? Okay, I think I know what you're meaning. I'm not sure you know what you mean.
No, I'm saying, if you look at, because you don't you try to push away someone from being coming a ger?
Okay. We're not going to go down that route, okay? Okay. So everybody say, at the following shadow. You want to, here's the following shot. Have a fellow in front of me. He was this guy 20 years ago in front of one dayan. What did Rabbi Yechon just say about this fellow? I'm Rabbi Yechon, he's not Jewish. Right? Did Rabbi Yechon say that or not? No, it's not Jewish. 20 years later, this fellow, who's not really Jewish, wants to come and blow shofar for me in Rosh Hashanah. And he blows shofar for me in Rosh Hashanah, so beautifully, all the shofars, truas, brisket, koyles, I think of all that. And then I realized at 3 o'clock in the afternoon that this guy was the guy 20 years before in front of one person. So what do I have to do now? What do I have to do? I have to see a shofar again. Why? Because L'chumma L'kul L'chumma Akshinan tells me that what? That, no. That he's not Jewish. So far, so good. Okay. Next week, the same guy is Mekadesh and Isha. And then she decides she wants out of the Shidduch. So what do we say? Does she need to get? What is she going to get? What is she going to get for? He's not Jewish. Akam Shekidish. What's wrong?
It's
not
what you make
it. We just turned the chumrah into a kula. Every chumrah is a kula. Every kula is a chumrah. How can Rabbi Yechin say he's not Jewish? What do you mean he's not Jewish? Maybe he's Jewish. How do you know? What am I driving at, Rabbi Yechin? This is what I thought you were asking. What am I driving at? What's klor from this tesis? This tesis of kedusha d'asarach beis. What is l'chum kula klut? It's clearly not b'teres safek. According to one tzad of Yosef Engel, or perhaps the first tzad in that tesis, before Ben Tam discovered the opposite, l'chumam l'kula meant that we really don't know. We don't know what the halacha is. We're not really sure which way to go, and we're going to cover ourselves on all bases, and we're going to be machmir whenever we can be machmir. So when Rabbi Yochanan said, ain't no ger, that's not what he meant. Rabbi Yochanan didn't say, Harei is a suffer ger, and therefore he can't be melted to kishov, but his wife needs a get. Rabbi Yochanan didn't say that. Rabbi Yochanan says, ain't no ger. When Rabbi Yochanan says, ain't no ger, he didn't mean, ain't no ger, but there is suffer. He meant, ain't no ger, but there is vaday. Ger tzach shleish, but there is vaday. So all that said, that l'chuma makshinan is only but there is suffer, that could possibly be the rationale to require a 3-day on it. So the only way to make any sense out of this application, this Taisa Kedushin of Samach Beis, this application of L'chum Makshidah into the realm of Geirus, is to hide behind who? Behind who? Behind Rabbi Natan. Was that a question or a statement that you just said? No, you said it as a statement. Statement, not a bit mea. Statement. The only way to make any sense out of this Taisa is to hide behind Rabbi Natan, namely, we're paskating now. Do you need 3 day on him or do you need 1 day in? Of course it's a chumra to require 3 day on him. Of course it's a kula that you get away with 1 day in. When you're paskating bashehu sham, should we require 3 or should we require 1? So we're going to throw the book at you and say b'teres vaday, you need 3, even though we know in the back of our minds maybe 1 should be enough. No, b'teres vaday, you require 3, and therefore b'teres vaday, you're not Jewish. You're not Jewish, but there is suffix, and therefore we're going to make you give your wife a get, and we'll let you blow shofar. No, we're not playing fakest games in 20 years from now. We're going to say with full, complete conviction that you're not Jewish. Why? Because Hilchos L'chum Makshinah had kapaskin 20 years ago that you needed 3 dayanim b'teres vaday, which you didn't have. Therefore, you didn't meet the criteria of being Jewish on a level of deraisa b'teres vaday. So the only way to make any sense out of this Tosfos and Kedushin Daf Samach Beis is to plug the Tosfos into a Benedam, which is exactly what you meant or didn't mean to say, right? That's what I meant when I said that. I know what you meant to say, what you wanted to say. So yes, this ties in Kedushin that dared apply L'chum Makshid and Tilchas Geirus, knowing full well that sometimes Geirus hits at the kulas and chumras, it's a bumpy road ahead in Tilchas Geirus, and Taisus had no qualms, no hesitations of applying L'chum Makshidon, Zemin Fanda, you see from this Taisus that Taisus clearly held that this is Cherech Levitis Ahekesh, this is 100% B'teres Vaday.
Understanding in the Tosos, how do we say that in the Kedushin case? What would we say?
We say that we paskin 20 years ago, this guy's not Jewish. Not because we weren't sure whether he's Jewish. We know he's not Jewish.
Great, but I'm saying now, 20 years later, he's married a girl.
But he's not Jewish. He's like any other guy who married a girl.
It's not.
He's a goy. We paskin, he's a goy. We know he's a goy. But Taris Vad, he's a goy.
We're letting her get off the hook easy.
Because he's a goy. That's why. I don't want to be so blatant. I don't want to be so, sound like I'm saying anything negative about different people in the world. But if he's not Jewish, well, he can't be Mekadesh and Isha. That's just the way it is. Asher Kedishanu, right? Mekadesh Amo Yisrael. He's not Amo Yisrael. He's a guy. Okay. got to cut that line over here.
According to one opinion, he's Jewish.
So. No, he's not. Dad, there never was such an opinion. No opinion. What opinion? Who opinion? No, wrong. No opinion. Zero. Even if you hold that one dayan could be a kosher dayan, that's not Jewish. Because l'chum l'chula, l'chum l'chidin told me, b'tar ezvada, b'di b'tarivah, that you compare it to chavalas. Converting is like beating a guy up. It's not like borrowing money. B'tar ezvada. Okay?
Do you say that even going to this Tosfos, we're still saying Mechumar Makshinan because of Sevek Derech Mechumar, but once we say it, then that's a psak that we're not going to.
But that's not just, it's not true. Sevek Derech Mechumar is just not true. Let's say you pass in a Shah Sevek Derech Mechumar, and then a week later, that turns out to be a Kula. So you got to retract the psak vis a vis that aspect.
You don't have cases of like Shnei Shvilin or even
Shnei Shvilin and Chazokas. Nah, those aren't Huggies. Because Chazokas aren't Huggies. That's a different story. When we pass get a shalos, fake it, ice in the Chumrah. So let's tell them, I'll give you an example. Perfect example. Classic example. I mean, never going to happen. Classic. Let's say Reuben is Bekadosh Nisha and it's kind of a suffix in the Kedushin. Right? Right? Okay? We're not sure. We're not sure whether it's Kedesh or not. So obviously, in order to let her remarry, we're going to have to insist on. Again, let's say now Reuben goes ahead as Mekadesh her sister. So what are we going to say? We're going to say, well, we paskin that it's a suffix when the first Kedushin is Chal. So now we paskin that there was a Kedushin there in effect, and we paskin you need to get because the suffix is L'chumra. So now what are we going to do? The second one doesn't need to get because it's Achaz Ishta. Would anybody say something? It's ridiculous that you never say that. Well, the Yavamas, you have millions of these cases in Yavamas. Of course we would require a second get. Just because we passed in 10 minutes ago, somebody writes L'chumra, once it results in being a kula, then we have to address it and turn around, turn the tables, and we mach in the other direction. So this Taisus, again, you see a Taisus condition. Who here read this Taisus condition? Anyone saw this Mamrachim? Who had Taisus condition? Who here realized right away the Taisus condition is saying exactly what Rabbeinu Tam in Bava Kamet of Gimel is saying? No? Didn't realize it? Come on, David, you realized that, right? Yeah, totally, right? You realized that, right?
Well, that's,
I know, that's why I'm just making fun. Right, okay. So Rabbi said, when you read two Taizim, you got to read the Taizim Kedusha and the Taizim of Akam. You have to realize, connect the dots between the Masech. It's the same idea in Taizim. Rabbi said, it shouldn't come as a great shock that the same way in Bava Kamet Daf Gimel, not all Rishonim brought into Rabbeinu Tam, and quite possibly the reason why many of the Rishonim, including Rabbeinu Shai and the Rashi, didn't want to Rabbeinu Tam, because it could be that some Rishonim did hide behind. It bothers me to have the Rashba's name over here. It, you know why I put it there. I put it for a different reason. It just sits there. It just doesn't sit right. So there may be other Rishonim who bought into L'chum Makshin as only a Safek. And any Rishon who bought into L'chum Makshin as only a Safek obviously could never, ever subscribe to Rabbi Yochanan the absurdity of saying that the reason why the Geirus is no good because L'chum Makshin, that would be a non-starter. So if Rishonim and Bava Kamet Daf Gimel, who didn't go down the route of Rabbeinu Tam, for sure not going down the route of Tosfos Kedushin of Samach Beis. So they are going to be posed with a problem. Those Rishonim are going to have a dilemma on their hands. What's going to be their dilemma? What kasha are they going to have to ask? Now we're sitting in the Beis Medrash Rabbeinu Yishai, we're sitting in the Beis Medrash of the Rash, we're sitting in Rishonim who didn't buy into Rabbeinu Tam in Bav Kamet of Gimel. They're learning Kedushin of Samach Beis. What's their problem, Rabbi say? How could Rabbi Yochanan say what? How could Rabbi Yochanan say that Geretz or Shalisha, after all, what? After all, maybe we should compare it to what? To Hodolos Vavos, right? Maybe we should compare it to Hodolos Vavos. Tachal Gukasha. And Tyson Rabbeinu Tam and the Sabbath Beis are not going to save us. Once you don't buy into Rabbeinu Tam's theory of a comment of Gimel, you can't hide behind Tyson condition of Sabbath Beis. So Rabbi Yisai, listen to this one. The Mordechai in the 11th in Mamikoimus, the Mordechai Maseches Yevamos, has a collector's item. Rabbeinu Yehuda b'Rabbi Yontif Pirish. Rabbeinu Yehuda, the son of Rabbeinu Yontif, had the following. I think this is Rabbeinu Yomtif from York, if I'm not mistaken. I don't know 100%. I forgot about the details of the history of the Balatosis. But the Rav in the city of York, Old York, in England, was Rabbeinu Yomtev, one of the Balei HaTosfos, not the Tosfos Yomtev, 500 years later, Rabbeinu Yomtev, who that whole community was killed al Kiddush Hashem. There are those who had their kinnis actually printed for them in the back of the kinnis. Many of us, we don't say them, but in some communities they say the kinnis for the Kedusha York back from the 1100s, 1200s, whatever it was. So I think this may have been his son, but I'm not 100% sure. Rabbeinu Yehuda, Rabbi Yomtev, Pirish, Alach Milsa. So Rabbeinu Yehuda was bothered with this kashin. In England, they were arguing with this guy. Everyone was bothered with this kashin. The Balei Tais in France were tumbling about this. The Balei Tais in England, everyone across the English Channel, they were tumbling about this kashin. Pirish Acham Nilsa, and he said, "The Midaraisa lo ba'ina gimel l'tvila." Rabbeinu Yehuda said that you want to know what the answer to this kashin is. How come you need three dayanim? What's the answer? What's the answer? How come you need three dayanim? You don't need three dayanim. Lo b'ina gimel l'tvila. Why? B'derais ha'chadami koshim nibi mominis, i.e. by Hildos Ravoski, the upper ratio of the Hedron. Ela b'derabonu di atzah geres k'bo b'dini mominis. V'chei motzim mei b'shem b'en asim chazal. B'en asim char b'en Yehud b'en Yontif. A whole group of Bali HaTosfos. A whole group of Yishayim Kohen the Mordechai will say that the kash is better than the Teretz. Then in Achinam, you don't need three. So why did Rabbi Yechon say Getzah Shloish? What's the answer? What? Either Midraban or Rabbi Yochanan may have held that what? That Hodos Valvos need three. It's a Machlokes de Gemara. Maybe Rabbi Yochanan personally held it needs three. But we don't hold that way. Says Rabbeinu Yontif, says Rabbeinu Yehud, Rabbi Yontif, says Rabbeinu Simcha, says the Mordechai. We personally hold that Chad Nami Kosha by Hodos Valvos, and therefore, Rochanami, Lididon, one diet is Taka Kosha. The Kosha is Taka better than the Teretz. So we just rewrote Huchas Geirus according to these Rishonim. So when you open up Shulchan Aruch according to Rabbeinu Simcha Ben Yehud, not Harach Shulchan Aruch, but their Shulchan Aruch, it says their guideline for Geirus says one rabbi is enough. I mean, not the Rabbani need three. I can't come on the Rabbani. But their Isa one is good enough. Because he was so bothered with the Kasha, why should it be Makish three? Be Makish to one. And you can tell me Chumah Makshinan? That's ridiculous, the Chumah Makshinan. The Chumah doesn't make any sense here. So therefore one is good enough. Startling. Therefore one is good enough. Anyone have any idea why Rabbeinu Yehuda said this teretz? Why Rabbeinu Simcha said this teretz? Anyone have any clue why? Back in the Geirus days, back in the Yevamos days? Anyone know why he came off and said such a wow, unbelievable chiddush of pshat to change the whole world? We don't pass like this. Not even mentioned as the Yeshomim and Shulchan Aruch. Didn't make any way out of the page of the Mordechai. Anyone know why these Rishonim said it? They were coming to answer a bomb kasha. The kasha was a famous sugi in the fourth parak of Yevamos. The Gemara tells a story about a certain woman who converted, and there was a little bit of a sikh, a little bit of a question about the validity of the geirus. It wasn't clear exactly what had happened. And there was a shiloh that was this over years later about her geirus. And the Gemara says, don't worry about it. It's okay. You know why don't worry about it? She's been frum. She's been married for 20 years. She's going to mikvah every month. Leave her alone. Milo Tavla to do so. She's gone to the mikvah already. What's the problem? So her first geirus was no good. Who cares? She went to the last place. She went another 100 times to the mikvah. Milo Tavla to do so. So all the Rishonim are up in arms about this Gemara. Why are they up in arms about this Gemara? Where's the Beis Din? Milo Tavla to do so. Where's the Beis Din? If the original geirus that was done before the Beis Din 20 years ago was invalidated, so while it's going to the mikveh for 20 years going to help, where's the Beis Din? So Taka Tosfos was so bothered with this kasha. You know what Tosfos said? Do you don't really need a Beis Din tefillah. When the Gemara says you need a Beis Din for geirus, which part of geirus do you need a Beis Din for? Kabbalas HaMitzvahs. Because Kabbalas HaMitzvahs, the Beis Din has to interrogate, has to ask questions, has to evaluate, analyze. That's Beis Din territory. Tefillah, you're going to jump into the mikveh. What do you need a Beis Din for? See, you went to the mikveh for. So Tosfos was so bothered with this kasha that they said you don't really need a Beis Din for that aspect of Tefillah Geirus. But other Rishonim said no. Other Rishonim said no. Getzach Shloish, you need a Beis Din, Beis Din, you need a Beis Din, Beis Din for every aspect of Geirus, including the Tefillah. So V is the Beis Din. Where's the Beis Din? So you know what these Rishonim said? Ah, come on. How many people do you need for a Beis Din? Tell me. Come on. How many people do you need for a Beis Din? One. Chadam Mikosher. It's a dos vavos. Chadam Mikosher. And therefore, Bistama, there was one person there at the time of the tefillah. And that's the reason why the Geirus is good. We can breathe a sigh of relief, Rabbeinu Simcha, and Rabbeinu Yantif, and the Mordechai. All these Rishonim said, it's based on the fact that you don't really need three Dayanim for Mishpat, for some parts of Mishpat, and therefore Geirus is patterned after those kinds of Mishpat. All you need is one Dayan in Shalom Yisrael. What's Kasha? Who in the world is sitting in the mikvah? The mikvah lady. Not the mikvah what? Not the mikvah man. So what did those Rishonim mean? What did the Rishonim have in mind when they gave that teretz? We may have to close the recorder for this one. Did those Rishonim mean to say what sounds like the impossible?
You
what?
You don't even
need. No. You need a dayan.
We'll keep pulling it again.
What? A dayanet. A shofetet. We'll leave it at that. So the Mordechai quotes that as a possibility. He says, "I need talking to Marcus against the Mishnah." The Mishnah says beferish. If you can't be an eight, you can't be a dayan. The Mishnah says beferish. Well, if you can't be an eight, by definition, you can't be a dayanet. No such thing. Is there a way out of that Mishnah? Maybe. There's a place in other place that maybe has a way out of that Mishnah. And probably, truthfully, in between the lines, somewhere in the deep recesses of the Rishonim, somewhere in the English Channel between England and France, there was probably somebody who held that, yeah, a woman can't taka be a dayan. Can't taka be a shofet. She can't be aid, but she maybe is kosher to be a dayan. And maybe, maybe, maybe that's the story of the Gemara Maseches Yevamos. Now, there may have been such a sheet in Rishonim that said that. It is totally, completely irrelevant, lahalacha, because it was completely rejected by everybody, from Taisus to the Rambam to the Rosh to the Shulchan Aruch. It's lo hoy of lo diya in Shulchan Aruch. Neither in Chayshim Mishpah Nuchas Dayanus, nor in Yerden Nuchas Geiris, lo hoy udvar meyolam. So anyone is going to tell you a story that we're going to follow that shita because why? I don't know why. Because we live in the English Channel. I don't know why we're going to follow that shita. So we don't. That's not the way halacha works. You dig up one rishon, they gave one shtikl Torah to answer a kasha in Gemara Yevamos, and nobody since then, before or after, has ever said that Torah. That's not the way we Judaism works. Okay, but for the purpose of lamedus, there probably was a shita. So Rabbi Sai, that's quite a shita. But just to understand why that shita said what they said. They said what they said because they were bothered with Tosis's kasha. They said what they said because they didn't want to go down Rabbeinu Tam. You see what happens when you don't go follow Rabbeinu Tam? You don't follow Rabbeinu Tam. Next thing you know is, wow, it's unbelievable. You end up with all these kashas that they're... Rabbeinu Tam, Baba Kama, it's so easy. It's a cinch. You go down Rabbeinu Tam. Everything's a shiposha. So Rabbi said again, we're learning Baba Kama Daf Gimel. We're not learning sukkis about women shoftot. We're not learning about dayanot. We're not learning about the issue. This is a very uncontroversial year. We're talking about animals eating fruits. We're not getting involved in the political scandals of the Jewish community of the ETF 2018. But not now. Maybe Thursday afternoons before Mincha, we'll talk about this, but not now. Rabbi said, for Daf Gimel and Aleph, we have Machlekes Rabbeinu Tam and the other Rishayim in Esud here. Rabbeinu Tam was willing to apply the principle of Chum Mechul Lechum Makshinon. It's a double Chiddush according to Rabbeinu Tam. It's Chedek Midas HaHekesh. It's calling itself Moment Chumra. Most of the Rishayim disagree with it. We don't know even which Nakuda the other Rishayim disagree with. We threw in for good luck that maybe the Rashba should have been a better Teretz or a different Teretz back from the Beis. We're not sure why the Rashba left out what he said. But we did make this observation that there's clearly Machlekes Rishayim about the mechanics of Gimel and Aleph are. We then borrowed this whole discussion, plugged it into Luchas Geiras, into the Sugyas and Kedusha, and the Sugyas and Sanhedrin. We identified a Taisus that applies Luchum Machshin and Luchas Geiras. We saw other Rishayim who denied it. The other Rishayim who denied it had reason to perhaps deny it. They had an innovative pshat in the Gemara and Yevamos to deny it. But at the end of the day, most of the Rishonim had other pshat, more regular, conventional pshat in that Gemara and Yevamos than to go down the root of that opinion of the Mordechai. But upon him, a lot of that discussion in Kedusha and Sanhedrin ultimately has its roots back in the Gemara and Alphas. Okay, so we finish the Sugya Mitzvah Shem tomorrow. So tomorrow is Tuesday, so we're on a regular Tuesday schedule. Okay, so guys, you get moving on the next.